to dismiss and doesn't waste city resources further punishing a survivor for surviving violence from her husband.
Victoria Lowen, thank you so much for being with us. Journalist who focus on the intersections of incarceration, gender, and resistance. We'll link to your coverage of this case for The Nation. And that does it for our show. A very special happy birthday to Dina Guzder. Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Fels, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rose, Nirmi Sheth. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And thank you, Amy. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, WUSB Stony Brook. Time for an abbreviated edition of Off the Wall. You know, since it's an abbreviated show, I figured maybe we'd start early. Because we have, like, you know, a 15-minute intro theme, and the show's only half an hour long.
It's a good idea.
And we have a 5-minute outro.
Why not?
I know it's what the listeners like, but it gives us precious little time to say anything.
Anything at all.
Nothing. We get to say nothing.
But so, we can say a lot of nothing. It's like the express edition of nothing.
Yeah, more or less. So
glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here, too. I'm also glad you're here. This is Emmanuel, and that's Kyle.
Kyle.
And all of this is Off the Wall. That's a good intro. I think we should say that every week.
And we're on.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a game coming up at 6:30. Just to let everybody know, Stony Brook men's basketball will be playing St. Joseph University. Actually, I assume it's St. Joseph University men's basketball, too. That makes sense. But my notes just say men's basketball at Stony Brook. But, yeah, it's going to be an even match. Well, not an even match because, you know, we're going to kick their asses. But, you know, regardless. Did you know there's a St. Joseph's University on Long Island? There is.
I'm new to this development.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a fact.
I'm still learning that Seawolves can shoot hoops, but that's
they can
how it
do
goes.
That. They can do all sorts of things. They can kick soccer balls. They can kick footballs. And I guess I really should wade into that controversy about whether or not you call it soccer or football. You know, we were watching the game earlier, the other game. There's two games. There's Stony Brook versus St. Joseph's, and then there was the United States versus Iran a little earlier in the day. That was a football game. I call that a football game. The people on Fox are trying to get everybody to rename it soccer, saying it's called soccer. No, it's not. It's called football. You're called idiots because, you know, I mean, it's, you know, the whole world agrees on this. Why can't we just agree?
Well, and even as a joke, it's just not that funny. It's I don't know. Maybe I'm just too serious these days.
You know, if you look at it, yeah, it's going to be a sports themed show, folks. So nobody's going to blame you if you tune to the other station. But no, we'll make it interesting. We will. And the whole thing's going to be interesting. And the game's going to be great, too. But, you know, if the whole point of the game is to kick a ball with your foot and do nothing else. You know, that's they get to be called football, okay? Now, if you have the other game where you basically kick a field goal and you punt and you kick off, and those are the only three times you use your feet, everything else is involved throwing the ball with your hands and catching it with your arms, that's not football. I don't know what you call it. Maybe, you know, they have a point that there's no other name for it. And you know, I should point this out, too. We went to the Jets game on Sunday.
It's not that we're averse to this style.
Not at all. No, no. We inject ourselves into just about every sport there is. you just have to invite us. But yeah, we were at what do they call that field? I should know this. What's my corporate name?
MetLife.
I was going to call it Meadowlands. It shows how out of date I am. The old stadium used to be called Meadowlands. Then they tore that one down and built MetLife. What did they rename Meadowlands and call that? I don't know my stadium history.
You can see some of the buildings are like half torn down or some kind of facility behind the stadium.
That's Jersey. They always do that.
I was a little bit frightened. It looked like an abandoned industrial district.
I can't insult Jersey because I say no way reaches Jersey. And they don't know how to use the internet. Yeah, I'm digging myself in pretty deep. But we're only on for half an hour, so I have to go, you know, at double speed. But yeah, we went to the Jets game. Jets versus, I can't remember, the Chicago Bears. I'm sorry. It was 2 days ago.
The Bears.
It was raining so hard. I heard people say, you know, it rains sometimes, but it never rains like this. And that made me proud that here we are in the stands. And we had great seats. We were in the front row.
Yeah, it was a brilliant.
Well, a touchdown happened like within feet. I could have interfered if I needed to, but no, I didn't.
I was ready.
I behaved myself. But we were getting soaked like you know, people never got soaked before for this team, which actually might have a shot at the playoffs this year, which is pretty incredible. The Giants and the Jets. Wow, who would have figured that? I felt a certain sense of pride that I might be catching pneumonia for that. And it's history. It's something that doesn't happen very often. I'm sure people freeze their asses off in the seat sometimes in December.
It seemed like it was a regular thing. Like a lot of people there understood how to deal with it.
But the tailgating before, that's turned into a whole big cultural thing because people just show up from all over the place and they have some really elaborate setups. There was one guy had a pizza oven in his car, and it wasn't even unusual. That's what people do.
Whole RVs down to trailers and satellite dishes, and there were people playing drinking games.
A lot of drinking. With 9 in the morning, that's when you get there. 9 there in the morning. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff.
Fire pits and grills. And
4 hours of this. And a lot of people, they're just packing up at 1 o'clock. It's like the game is secondary. You know, they're sort of meandering over to the entryway. And you hear the game is already going on. We missed that national anthem. You know, we tried to get there on time, but there were just so many people going through the gates at the last minute that it was not possible. It was okay though. It was a very festive atmosphere, but it was wild. One thing I noticed though, you have to have a phone. Your ticket has to be on a phone. They say all tickets are mobile. What if you don't have a phone? How does it work then? You know, I guess you could be on someone else's phone, but I miss paper tickets.
It's peculiar. I didn't get a good look at how it all works and the details of it, but I guess that means you can download a sort of file version, print it out, and present to them paper. That's what it said. Mobile.
The signs kind of indicated that they would not have that. I was confused enough because as you're approaching, they tell you two things, and the thing is they have a loudspeaker that gives you instructions that you can only hear when you're one person behind the gate, so you don't have time to prepare, and the sign of what you have to put on the table and what you can keep on you is so tiny that you can't read that until you get up to it as well. Basically, where was I going with that?
It was like customs and we were entering this new city.
Well, they tell you two different things. They say that you have to show your ticket, and you have to put your phone in the tray when you go through the metal detector. So how do I show my ticket if it's on the phone as it's going through a tray and I'm going through the metal detector? Which comes first? That's what I was trying to figure out. Turns out the phone with the ticket on it comes second, but they don't tell you that till you get there. So anyway, that was just one thing I noticed. Any reviews of the food in the parking lot at 9 in the morning?
Oh, it was...
Were the refreshments?
Oh, impressive. Everyone seems to be of good cheer and weather the build-up and many hours of revelry leading to it. And, yeah, I don't know. Hadn't been in a while. I didn't realize that the rain was such a known part. It was sort of like what I imagine, like deep-sea fishing.
Yeah, I guess
it'd be
so.
Like if you were like doing some kind of trawling in an Arctic region.
A lot more work, though. I mean, we were kind of just sitting around in a parking lot.
It'd be like if you're lounging on the back of that. But it was stormy. I felt that.
And I made it through the entire first half inside the stadium getting soaked. But I wanted a poncho. And I saw all these people had ponchos, and a lot of them had New York Jets logos on them. Some of them were clear. I didn't know how to get a poncho. I figured, okay, this is one of these situations where everybody but Emmanuel knows how to do this, and I'm just going to spend the whole day trying to figure out how to do something basic that even children know how to do. Turns out there's this massive Jets store in the stadium. You go there, it is so incredibly packed with people. Like, they just figured out they can buy Jets things. And I don't know why they don't do it online, but the store is just, it's big, and it's completely packed with people. I dried off just from the body heat. I was totally soaked to my skin, but by the time I made it out of the store, I was dry again because of all the people. But I also found, I found ponchos. I just asked somebody at a cash register, you have ponchos? And she said, yeah, just a couple left. There was no sign for them or anything. And I wore that for the second half, and it was much better, much better. I was listening to the rain hitting the poncho like, you know, rain on a roof. It was a very comforting sound. And I still was pretty wet, though. In fact, some of my clothes are still drying. But it's one of those experiences. It's worth doing.
Yeah, and the home team won, which I still find
interesting. Spoiler alert! Wow, there are people maybe who didn't see the Jets game yet. But yeah, they did win.
Wait, I can't say the score after I've been to the dang game, and you want me to talk about it on this radio, on this community radio, so this fabulous community radio station?
It's only 2 days ago, so there might be people that haven't caught up yet.
We gotta hurry.
But spoiler alert for today's game with Iran. I was very happy with that. That was a good game. That was a really good game, and we will spoil it. So 5 seconds for you to tune away if you don't know the outcome of today. World Cup game. Okay, fine. United States got past Iran. They had to win this game to make it through to the round of 16. Iran just had to tie. So throughout a good part of the game, United States was ahead 1-0, and if Iran had scored, and they were trying to score really badly, they would have won just by tying. It was a really good game, too. Really a lot of action. I say the United States excelled in offense during the first half and defense during the second half. That's my expert opinion. But Iran played a clean game. They really did. And I'm impressed by their team. I'm impressed by just they seem very I've seen some dirty plays throughout this tournament, and I didn't really see anything like that from them. So they have a lot to be proud of, I think.
Yeah, I echo that. It was just an intense stiff resistance to the volleys, the shots and attempts that the Americans are making, and I don't think it was by any means easy. The one goal that did score, the guy got knocked really hard, mm-hmm. like it was definitely a concussion event of some kind,
an abdomen concussion.
Well, I'm thinking like the wind just got totally knocked out of him, and he just doubled over.
Well, imagine if you run full force into somebody's knee. That's basically what he did.
He was going at full speed and then stopped. And it, I mean, that there's just no, you can't imagine it. I was, you're feeling for the guy, and he eventually he was like off the field and then came back on and played.
Well, for the next 5 minutes before the half.
Before halftime, yeah.
And then he didn't come back after that. So
still, it was just that alone, none of these goals were like easy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And
the guy from Long Island, the guy from Lake Grove, he hasn't played yet. I don't think he's come on the field at all. But now that the United States has moved on, and hooray, we get to play the Netherlands on Saturday. Oh boy! If things had gone differently, if Wales had beaten England today, the United States would be playing Senegal instead of the Netherlands. So I'm a little worried about that. But hopefully he'll see some playing time, and we'll keep an eye on that. There was some controversy, of course, over the weekend. The United States Soccer Federation changed Iran's flag on its social media page. They changed Iran's flag on their social media page. Maybe, United States Soccer Federation, I get what you're trying to do, but maybe you're not the people to do that right now in the middle of the World Cup. They did that to highlight the struggles of women protesters inside the Islamic Republic and may have inadvertently or advertently created a huge distraction for its own team ahead of the biggest game in years, which was today. And by the way, I should point out, today was the first day that the United States national team has won a game since June. Think about that. It's not like they play every day, but still, that's something to get out of your head when you're playing on the field. Anyway, the changing of the flag, which basically removed the inner seal of it, it prompted the Iranian state-aligned media agency, Tajnim, to tweet that Team USA should be kicked out of the World Cup. And on Monday, the U.S. coach Greg Berhalter and Captain Tyler Adams endured a grilling from Iranian journalists about U.S. travel bans, naval maneuvers in the Persian Gulf, and their pronunciation of Iran. I guess that's how you're supposed to pronounce it, because they spell it E-Y-E space R-A-N. So I guess that's, they're trying to tell us how, CNN here is trying to tell us how to pronounce it, Iran, not Iran. But you know what? Nobody can figure out how to pronounce Qatar. So, it's open to interpretation.
I've heard people say Iran.
Yeah, I'm sure you hear all kinds of different ways. The coach said that he and his players know nothing about the U.S. soccer post, or knew nothing about it ahead of time, but basically said, we had no idea about what U.S. soccer put out, the staff, the players, we had no idea. All we can do is apologize on behalf of the players and the staff, but it's not something that we were a part of. It's just, you don't need this kind of thing from the U.S. Soccer organizers. This is the kind of thing that fans should definitely take part in. There are people wearing shirts and being confronted by security guards in Qatar. That is something that really needs to be challenged. You know, fans have every right to wear a T-shirt that says, you know, freedom for women or something, really basic like that, or to wave a rainbow flag, all sorts of things. Yes, that is what you challenge, absolutely. But when you're part of the tournament, you have to treat each other with respect. That's just basic, really basic. Time is really flying. Look at this. I have to remind people.
In the name of sport, I might add.
Well, yeah, and we are talking. Yeah. We are talking a lot of sports here.
Let's go.
But let's talk about some giving. Today is Giving Tuesday. That means you should give something to somebody or some entity. And you know what's a good entity? It's WUSB, this radio station right
They're
here.
Fantastic. They're great.
We're fantastic. We're great.
We are.
Yeah, because we are part of them. And they're a part of us.
WUSB.fm.
That's the website. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can make a difference in your community with an end-of-the-year donation on Giving Tuesday to support WUSB College Community Radio Programming, which features music, sports, news, public affairs, public service announcements, local emergency broadcast. I know people look forward to that. You can pay securely by credit card directly at WUSB.fm/pledge or give us a call right now, 631-632-6901. 631-632-6901. If that phone number doesn't answer, you can also call this number, 631-632-6828. Yeah, 631-632-6828. And pledge whatever you can. And we have some pretty neat items to give you to say thank you, like mugs and shirts and sweatshirts and hats and CDs. And the list is too long for us to say in the abbreviated show that we're on tonight. What we can say, though, is that WUSB relies on listener support. That's how we've stayed on the air this long. That's how we're building new things, maintaining old things, and basically just ensuring that we're going to be here for those new voices that are coming up and, all sorts of people listening now. One day we'll be on the air, and many, many listeners in their cars, online, in their homes will hear different music, different ideas, different thoughts, things that you don't hear on any other radio station. So please give that support, WUSB.fm/pledge or 631-632-6901.
It is a community effort, but it is in so many ways, it is a home. It is a family, a community of so many talented individuals who rely on your contributions anything you can, any dollar amount. It goes an incredibly long way to all of the types of things we've talked about as far as improvements and ongoing operations. Do what you can. That's enough. That's all I have time to say. But please, we're in that mode, and it's the end of the year. This is a nonprofit. You know, think of us in all of your giving plans.
And we only have 5 minutes left before we have to play the outro. Boy, this goes fast. But I wanted to show you this. Unfortunately, this iconic photo, Orion has flown far beyond the moon, and it basically took a picture that shows the Earth and the moon and Orion as, at the same time. I printed it out for you to see, Kyle, but unfortunately, apparently we need toner in our printer because it looks like that. And that's a disappointment. So I'll show you the actual picture online later. But for those of you listening that can't see the picture regardless, a camera attached to the solar panels on board Orion's...
I saw the solar panels.
The solar panels look like solar panels, mm-hmm. but seeing the moon and the Earth right next to each other, almost at the same size, that's quite a picture.
I saw the word NASA
mm-hmm.
as well.
Okay, well, you've never seen that before?
Or acronyms.
Anyway, so the module snapped photos of the moon just beyond the Earth. These were lovely, lonely, and evocative images. Okay, well, I guess, what am I reading this from?
Some melancholy take.
I don't know the source. You know, when you print things out, sometimes they don't print the name of the paper that you're printing out. That's your loss. Whoever it is that wrote this, I was going to say, yes, that's very well phrased, but now I don't know who you are. The imagery was crazy, said the Artemis 1 mission's lead flight director, Rick LeBrode. It's really hard to articulate what the feeling is. It's really amazing to be here and see that. And those words, that kind of sums it all up, in my opinion. Amazing pictures, Artemis 1. I guess it's going to start heading back to Earth fairly soon. It's going to splash down in the ocean and be retrieved near San Diego. So that's something to look forward to. I hope everybody's paying attention to this because this is a milestone, a true milestone equivalent to the Apollo missions in the 1960s and 70s, except this one hopefully will last and we won't forget about it.
Yeah, after doing all of those maneuvers and now coming back towards Earth, this has stayed intact and on course, and it looks pretty good so far.
Yeah.
That atmosphere part's another tricky milestone to get past.
Well, on the 2 minutes left, ordinarily we talk about Donald Trump having dinner with white supremacists and Kanye West, but we just don't have time. We talked about the congressional leaders who are acting to prevent a nationwide rail strike that will include Amtrak, because Amtrak has to honor picket lines, and that could happen in a few days if Congress does not intervene. And something needs to be done, because obviously if the rails go on strike, the economy will collapse. Absolutely. And Biden will be blamed again. So what are you going to do? That's going to be happening in the next couple of days, next week or so. So I guess in our minute left, I can tell people otw@2600.com is our email address. I can tell people that wusb.fm/pledge is the website to donate money to WUSB, or 631-632-6901 is the number to call to do the same. And I can also tell you that coming up in about 5 minutes is men's basketball, Stony Brook University versus St. John's University. We'll see. We'll see who emerges victorious from there. And I guess we'll go out with a sports-themed piece here from one of my favorite ever comedy teams, Bob and Ray, talking about a new soccer league. This was back in the 80s, I guess, maybe in the later part of their career. We will see you in a week for a full hour. Stay tuned for basketball.
On your mark, get set, go.
Well, Hi there, sports fans. This is your eyes and ears of the Press Box, Biff Burns, coming your way once again from Mike's side in the Biff Burns Sports Room. We're set to take another penetrating look at all the highlights and sidelights from the world of sports, but first, we want to chat with a very special sports guest who's with us in the sports room today. His name is Wilbur V. Dodson, and Wilbur, I understand you're ready to play a long shot by putting still another new professional sports franchise here in New York.
Well, I don't really feel that I'm playing a long shot, Biff. This city has indicated that soccer is really beginning to catch on here, so I have every reason to believe that the good people will turn out to support my New York Kangaroos.
Well, from our vantage point here in the sports room, we certainly do want to wish you the best of luck, Wilbur. I know a lot of critics are saying that the abundance of foreign-born players is one of the things that's hurt pro soccer in this country, and from the nickname of your team, I assume that the Kangaroos are mostly Australian.
Well, that's only partially true, Biff. Some of the guys were born down under, but quite a few of them are second- and third-generation Americans of Australian descent.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But I assume it means that the names of some of your team members are already familiar to U.S. fans.
Well, I'm afraid I don't exactly know what you mean, Biff, but taking your question literally, my players obviously don't have names at all. It's not, customary to give names to kangaroos.
Well, I think you may have just dropped the season's biggest bombshell here in the sports room without realizing what you've done, Wilbur. Are you trying to say that your players are really kangaroos and that's not just a team nickname?
Yeah, but I don't know what you find so unusual about that, Biff. I realized as soon as Pelle had been signed by another team that he's really the only human soccer player whose name means much in this country. So I figured I might as well go for raw talent instead of name value. So, of course, that meant kangaroos.
So you put a whole team of them under contract, huh?
Well, actually, I already had them under contract. I was planning to use them on a new team I was getting together for the World Football League, but then the WFL folded before we could play our first game.
Well, from our vantage point here in the sports room, we certainly extend our condolences on that costly bit of bad luck, Wilbur.
Well, I think it probably was all for the best, but if I found out at our training camp that kangaroos don't play football as well as you might think. Of course, they all kick field goals from just about anywhere, but their front paws are too short to mount much of a passing attack. And also, they fumble a lot when they turn, to a running game.
Well, I don't imagine there'd be much spectator appeal in a football team that just kicks field goals on first down every time it gets the ball.
Well, that was my feeling exactly, Biff. So, from a purely personal standpoint, I think it may have been a good thing that the WFL folded so I could convert the kangaroos into a soccer team.
Yeah, soccer is more of a purely kicking game, and I guess a trained kangaroo might be able to adapt to it more easily.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. The guys still have a tendency to step on each other's tails, when the flow of play suddenly moves from one end of the field to the other, but they can really kick that ball on the rare occasions when one of them decides he wants to.
Well, I think you may have just let another bombshell slip out there, Wilbur. Are you trying to say that kangaroos don't particularly care about kicking a soccer ball even though they're playing on a soccer team?
That's right. But you got to remember one thing, Biff. They don't know they're playing on a soccer team, so there's no reason for them to want to kick the ball. However, I'm hoping to spray the ball with catnip or something like that to attract their interest.
Well, I'm sure that'll make the team more of an offensive scoring threat, Wilbur.
Well, better will. Even now, one of them appears to kick the ball accidentally. It almost always goes clear over the roof of the stadium where we're practicing.
Well, then they certainly have a natural talent, but do they ever kick the ball into the goal?
No, just over the roof of the stadium. See, they don't know they're supposed to kick it into the goal. That's a pretty complicated thing to teach a kangaroo.
Well, I know you'll be out there trying to teach it to them right up to the day you go bankrupt, Wilbur, so thanks for dropping by to tell us all about your wonderful idea. Now, this is Biff Burns saying that until next time for our next get-together in the sports room, this is Biff Burns saying so long, fans.